Kylie, I am seriously so excited for you to be a part of season one of Beyond the Numbers. I know that I said when I first reached out to you about you being a speaker here on the summit, you were one of the first ones that really talked about being able to have a email marketing strategy be like the thing. You don't really have to, you don't have to be on social media. So I am so excited for this conversation. For the subscribers or listeners who are new and don't know who you are and what you do, can you kind of share with them a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Hi, Amy. Oh my goodness. I am so excited to be here. And yes, I am not a social media girly. So this topic has just got me so excited. So for anybody that doesn't know me, my name is Kylie Kelly. I'm a visibility coach and an audience growth mentor. What that means is I help online business owners grow and monetize their audience so that they don't have to be using social media, right? So that we can actually build a business that fuels the life that we want to live. I'm also the mom of two little boys, hence why I need flexibility. And I live just outside of Sydney in Australia. I'm super excited to be here and I cannot wait for this conversation about all things email.
All right, so let's talk email marketing. Having email marketing as a strategy, you kind of shared a little bit about, you've got the two boys at home, so you needed that flexibility. But what was some of the things that showed up that kind of helped you choose this path when you were choosing that you were going to use email marketing as a forefront? And then how did you make this happen? What does this look like? What were the priorities? Because I know that there are probably like, okay, well, how often do I have to email my list? And a lot of technical questions that are going to come up for subscribers. But I think let's start with like the mindset aspect here, because I'm betting there's some shifts that you made there to feel like this could be the strategy, this could be the solution. And then maybe we can do like rapid fire a couple of those tactical things.
Oh my goodness, yes, I love this. So firstly there you asked like why email, which is the most amazing question. And honestly, it all came back to when I created the online business. So I was a wedding photographer before, very much perfectionist, very much very visual and creative. And when I transitioned to an online business and stepped away from photography, I brought a lot of those habits, tendencies, like into that business, right? Like I started to try and post on Instagram and I wanted it to look perfect. And I would spend hours making like the most amazing photo and caption to get like five freaking likes. And it just didn't make sense. There was part of me that was like, hang on, this is you spending all of this time and what are we getting out of it? And then after I'd been consistent for a little while, I went back and looked at the data and looked at how many people I was getting clicking to my website, clicking to contact me, like how many new followers I was getting. And it was dismal, like it was nothing. So it just made sense to try something different. It's, what's that saying? Like doing the same thing over and over again is like the definition of insanity, like expecting different results. That's exactly what I recognized. And so I was like, okay, well, everyone bangs on about email. And for me, I've always loved writing. Now, for anyone listening, don't let that scare you off. I'm going to talk about that in a second. But I personally have always loved writing. So I was like, well, email feels like it'd be a great way to go. Plus, I like the control I have. Yes, I'm a little bit of a control freak over here. I like the control that I have, the fact that I can send an email and people will actually see it. I'll actually be able to build a deep relationship. That felt really safe and good to me. So that was all coming into play. We can talk in a second, if you like, Amy, about like if you're not a writer, does this still work? Because that might be good to dig into. But around the mindset shift piece, I think for me, the biggest thing that helped me want to build relationships through email was actually remembering that it was one person, that it was me literally writing an email to another human being on the other side of the screen. So it was just a one-on-one type conversation. And I think because of that and the way that I thought about that meant that I could share things where I was being a bit vulnerable, where I was sharing when things didn't work, when I tried something, or I am a pretty open book. So that felt really good to me. And because of that, vulnerability, people responded. They loved getting my emails. I think in this day and age, especially now where AI, I love AI, but where a lot of people are using AI, but they might not be using it well, and there's a lot of email templates, it's even more important to use your own voice and to show up as you and to actually share real things. And I think remembering that it's one person on the other side that you're talking to actually helps you be able to do that, right? Like my email list is in the thousands now. One of my goals for this year was to get it to 10,000. If I was to think about me sending an email and reaching even 5,000, right? If my open rate's 50%, sending an email and reaching 5,000 people, oh my God, I'd never send the email. Like, I am not the person that likes to be front and center. I'm more of an introvert than I am an extrovert. Like, that would scare the pants off me. But if I can instead write an email and just think about that one person, that I'm just sending it to Amy, that's it. What do I want to say to Amy today? What would I like to share with her? What's been going on in my world that might help her? If I think of it like that, I'm more likely to write and send the bloody email. But also, it means that it just feels more personal. It feels more connected, and people can trust you even more. Like, you're building a more of a beautiful relationship. So that mindset shift, focusing on the one, really, really helped me.
I totally love that. It feels almost more intimate to me. And I know we've talked kind of about some of the things that I went through last year and the shifts that I had to make, and or not really had to make, chose to make. But I've been somebody who loves hanging out on stories, and that really kind of went away for a little bit last year. But I loved writing to my email list, and we should totally talk about if you don't love writing, because I think that can be a fun conversation too. But the email list felt like a place that I could write to. And I know a lot of people will tell you, like, write it like you're writing to a friend, but it did feel like I was writing to a friend because I was sharing things there and speaking more boldly and really using my voice and some of those things to my email list, because it felt more aligned and more okay to do so. And my subscribers loved it too. Before we talk about if you don't like to write, I'll be curious to hear, are you somebody, because I know when we first started talking about this, kind of, I realized that I'm somebody who buys from my email list, and we had this societal pressure, like, you know, to post the graphics, and we had to post 3 times a week and all of those things. And I was somebody too, you know, take messy action, tell me what to do, I'll do it. I'll do the posts on social media and all those things. But it was like this constant content hamster wheel. And when I sat and looked at it, it was like the people that I'm buying from, I'm not buying from their Instagram post. I'm buying from their emails and the people that I know. Like, that's how I bought as a buyer. And I'd be curious if you're the same way too, because yeah, I guess I've bought like things off of Instagram ads, you know, but most of them, yeah, I'm an email buyer. So I'd love to hear that. And then yes, let's totally talk about if you are not a writer, how we handle that. I know you've got some awesome resources that I've utilized, because, you know, I'm in your world, I'm part of your email growth club, for like when things, because, you know, sometimes we get stuck, sometimes we don't know what to say, and they've been awesome resources. But that is definitely a hurdle, so we should definitely talk about that.
Yes, I love this, Amy, and I agree with you. I buy from email all the time. I must admit, there's obviously times when I've purchased from an Instagram ad as well. Generally, it's when I've had too many glasses of wine, or it's like 1 a.m. and the kids are awake and I'm just scrolling mindlessly, and I guess my buying decisions are probably not at their peak. And funnily enough, there are always the decisions that I probably end up regretting, like some random thing off Instagram. However, when I am actually spending significant money, right, when it's an actual thought out buying decision, and when I'm investing in something, generally speaking, it's all through email. I do a lot of online shopping, as I think we all do in this day and age, especially with young kids. And so, yeah, a lot of it then is through email. I actually did a little bit of research before I came back into reply, and there was a report done in December in 2024 that said that email impacts 59% of buying decisions. So, like, I just think that it's such a powerful, powerful thing to take advantage of. And of course, if you're building up your email list, perhaps it's, you know, you're not seeing the sales yet, I do think it's important to remember that it's a relationship that we're building. So the person on the other side has to, you know like and trust us before they're ready to spend money with us. But once they do trust us, then it is so much easier to make revenue, make sales through email than any other thing that I've ever experienced. And that definitely came into play like when I was moving away from Instagram. So at the moment, if you look at my Instagram profile, it's just a static 9 grid. I don't post to my profile at all. And when I was making the decision to do that, that was one of the things I thought of, like, what's the ROI on this? Like, is it actually making me any money? And it really wasn't. So yeah, I'm definitely a big fan of buying in the inbox. And then, yeah, for anybody that doesn't like writing, I think this is a really great conversation, because that's the thing that people always think about when they're thinking about email. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm not a good writer. I don't know what to say. You know, you sit looking at that blinking cursor, or you use email templates that just take away your voice. Now, I provide email templates. We use AI in the club. Like, it is definitely a tool, but it shouldn't replace your actual voice. So the thing that I like to teach my members, my clients, is getting comfortable with email first, right? So if you're not a writer, like, what do you want to share with your audience? That's the first question. So I'd be going, okay, what do I want to share with to my email list today? And if that stumps you, think about, like, your ideal client is your best friend. So, like, what would I say to Amy if I was sitting across from her with a glass of wine and she asks me how work's going, or something about my niche, my industry? What would I want to tell her? What would I want to share with her? What tips have I got? What advice have I got? What have I learned recently that is interesting? And if you can think of it like that, as it's like a one-on-one kind of conversation, then it makes it so much easier to write the email. And then if you're still like, oh, but I just don't like writing, or you get like an academic voice on, like if anyone listening has gone to college or university or done like further education where they've had to like cite things, academic writing, it's a whole other ballgame, right? So if you've come from that world, sometimes it can be hard just to be a human on the other side. So I think if that's you, jump into a Zoom room, press record to yourself, literally share, talk to yourself about what you say. Like, imagine you've been asked that question and just start rambling about an opinion on something or something you want to share. Grab the transcript, throw that into ChatGPT and ask Chat to create an email using your words from the transcript. That is a little hint, a little tip, piece of advice that I've told so many people that feel like they suck at writing or that don't like writing, and it has helped them tremendously. Same goes if you have a podcast or some other kind of content, right? Grab the transcripts, make sure you're getting your words and putting them into AI. Be like, hey, can you please create me an email using my words? And it'll just make it so much easier.
Oh, I love the Zoom call idea. I leave myself voice notes all the time on Voxer. Now, you were the one who suggested/encouraged me to host this audio summit. First brought it up a couple months ago, I guess it's the beginning of the year, when we were working together in a different container. And you've obviously hosted your own audio summit and have put together a case study on your results, what happened with the audio summit. I know season 2 is fixing to come up, so why don't you share with everybody a little bit about how they can check out that case study and stay connected with you?
Yes, of course, Amy. Well, thank you firstly for having me. It's been so fun to be here with you. And as I don't know, you know this, and maybe our listeners do too, but I'm obsessed with growing our business in a way that feels really good. And for me, it's all about relationships. So what I decided to do is host an audio summit just like this back in February called Inside the Inbox. And I had over 1,100 signups. I ended up making over $25,000 in revenue. I launched my mastermind at the end, which is where that revenue mostly came from. So I decided to make a case study because I wanted to show other women in business that it can be easy, right? That it can feel good. So you can actually sign up for that case study. It's only 12 minutes long, and I dig into everything. I dig into the numbers. I dig into how I did it. Absolutely anything that you might need. If this is something that you're like, maybe I want to try it. Maybe I could give this a go. So you can simply go to kyliekelly.com/inside and sign up for the case study and you can get it. And we actually have the next round of Inside the Inbox going live in May. So when you're on my email list, you'll also be the first to know when that next audio summit is live as well. But thank you so much for having me, Amy. I hope that our listeners today found this really helpful. And I just really appreciate everything that you've done to bring it together. Thank you.
Your action step/reflection for this session. Think back on your current marketing habits. Where do you spend most of your time? What results are you actually getting from those channels, i.e. new clients, sales, subscribers, engagement? If you were to track your data like Kylie did, what would it show? Why might email marketing feel attractive to you as a marketing strategy? Now, you've got the strategy, let's make sure it actually works, because if money, stress, fear, or second guessing keep slowing you down, it won't matter how good your marketing is. So if you're ready to clear the resistance, stay in motion, and finally see consistent results, I'd love to welcome you inside the Unstoppable Experience. To see all the details and enroll, simply visit amysirka.com/unstoppable.